Okay, we're going to go ahead and call the House Finance meeting to order. Apologize for the late start. The time is 9:15. With us today is Representative Moses, Representative Holm, Representative Kelly, Representative Foster, Co-Chair Chenault, myself, Co-Chair Myers, Vice Chair Stoltz,
Representative Katula, and Representative Jewell.
This morning we had three bills that we'd like to take up. First one, House Bill 387, Tuition Waiver for National Guard, House Bill 307, Kinnick River Public Use, and House Bill 51, Employer Association for Workers' Comp. So, if there's nothing to come for the committee, let's go right into 387. The sponsor's here. First thing we'll need, though, is a motion to take up the blank committee substitute.
I'll move.
Okay. The motion then is to adopt blank committee substitute HB 387, version 24, LS1323/S. Michelle, dated 3-28-06. It's a working document. Any objections? Okay, seeing none, we have that before us. We have also Representative Croft just joining with Representative Thomas. So I will let the sponsors tell us what this bill is about. Floor is yours, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, co-chairs of finance and members of the finance committee. I'm Representative Thomas from District 5. What you have today is a bill that Representative Croft and I were working on, seemed like all summer, but we were told that Representative Croft had beat us to the punch, so he was working on the languages. We worked on the education portion together, so I'll let him present that portion and that we had put into the our bill, of course, the portion about giving free hunting and fishing licenses to the military. And so I'll cover that, and I'll let Representative Croft cover the education portion. As we know, we've had, I think, 350 boys from the Guard that have been to Iraq and have come back, and now they've also been put on notice that we'll have 700 more that have been notified that they'll be heading to Iraq. And being a Vietnam veteran in country, as one would identify being, this the information meant that we're in Vietnam and not in California or the Mediterranean. When I came home, I found that going back out and going hunting and fishing was very relaxing. I mean, got away from people who did not understand what was going on, and was a way to rest and relax and again, get away from pressures of people. And I thought, in talking with some of my friends, that would be nice if the National Guard, who was being activated, had the same privileges prior to going to Iraq to go out and go out and fish and hunt, especially if you're used to doing that. And it's not a lot of money for a sport fishing or hunting license, but it's a good way just to show, I call it goodwill, to help the boys. And I call them boys because they are. But I see in the last one, there's several older guys, so there's young boys and men and women going to Iraq. And just a good way to say, attaboy and girl, we appreciate what you're doing. And I know it's one small, simple gesture, but it's one that I'm sure that they would appreciate. And I would ask that you support this and the education portion also. And again, I wish that we had it when we came home, but we went out and hunted a lot of rabbits and ate a lot of Dolly Varden because we didn't want to go to work right away. So we spent a lot of time on the river and the woods, and hopefully the Guard will take advantage of this. So if you have any questions after Representative Croft has done with his portion. And again, we were both agreed on the same bill, and we just put them together. So just have to let Representative Croft speak.
Thank you, Representative Thomas. Representative Croft.
Your Honor, Mr. Chairman. It's a pleasure to be back. Missed you guys. I think all Alaskans are united in wanting to show our support for, to say thank you to the people in the National Guard who are doing such great work over in Iraq. It's difficult. We know that. And whatever anyone's view on the war itself, everyone, I think, wants to say thank you. And I think the reason that we have had this combined bill is there were multiple people reaching out to find ways to do so. And Representative Thomas and I found that we had similar bills with similar goals, not identical, but similar, and we decided just to combine them to show support, to say thank you. The provisions that we concentrated on are Alaska's little GI Bill, if you will. Alaska's promise to its guardsmen and women that they would have free tuition at the University of Alaska, free tuition to pursue their education. The GI Bill was a fabulous way for returning servicemen to pull themselves up by receiving an education and helped by the government. And we wanted to do the same on the state level for our guardsmen. The trouble we found after we got into the bill somewhat is that guardsmen were not always receiving the benefit, that the way they had funded it, sometimes the benefit shut off mid-year. And so a guardsman who was authorized, who was in, who was wanting to take a course at the University of Alaska would find that the money had run out and there was nothing available. And it seemed as though different years it would either it would be handled as a supplemental or just the program shut off at that point. So the current bill that we have does two things. It guarantees that that benefit will be there. That is, it directs the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs to direct the university to keep on paying those bills. So the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs will keep paying them to the university, will keep paying them for the out-of-state tuition as long as there's a qualified guard member there. And we are going to keep that obligation to our guardsmen and women, not let it run out mid-year. It also extends a 50% educational benefit to spouses. Often the guardsman or woman is away for long periods of time, and it's as hard sometimes on the spouses as it is on the serving member. And so we wanted to some way to say thank you, not just to the person who's serving, but to the family. In some senses, the entire family themselves is serving. So it's a pleasure to have this before you again. It's a pleasure to see you again, and I hope we can, in this small way, say thank you through providing an educational benefit for the Guards members, an educational benefit, smaller one for the spouse, and these hunting and fishing licenses.
If I may, Mr. Chair, they clarified the reason for the CS is that we dropped children and kept the spouses in there, and the waiver does not include children. We had previously had children in there. And I'd like to also point out that I had a nephew that had recently come back from Iraq, and I brought this up with him, and he thought it was a great idea, but they don't know the political process of how to get involved and let people know that it was a good idea. But if his wife had not had a formal education and a good job, he said he would not have been able to go to and support the family like he had, and he had joined the Guard when he was like 42 years old and was activated at 45. So it was nothing that he had joined it to spend the weekends with friends and enjoy himself. And he says, definitely did. He ended up losing 40 pounds by the time he got out of Texas before they sent him over. So anyway, I just thought that would explain the CS. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Any questions for either one of the sponsors? Okay, I have some questions about the bill itself, but we can address those later.
Okay.
Let's see. To testify today, we have, did Mr. Kramer, did I see John Kramer? Okay, did you want to testify or were you here for questions, sir? Questions, all right. Good. Sarah Gilbertson Singh? Sure, please.
Okay. Good morning. For the record, I'm Sarah Gilbertson, Special Assistant to the Commissioner of the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. And we do have some concerns about this bill. We recognize the good intentions behind it. However, I'd like to draw your attention to the fiscal note. And our concerns are largely financial concerns. House Bill 387 gives complimentary hunting and sport fishing licenses to all active Alaska National Guard troops. The governor introduced a bill both in the House and the Senate on the House side. It's House Bill 451. And that bill would basically give complimentary hunting and sport fishing licenses to those Alaska National Guard troops that are returning from combat. So the difference in terms of the fiscal note is for this bill, a $65,700 loss to the Fish and Game Fund, whereas the governor's bill would only be a $5,500 annual loss. So there's a big difference in terms of the hit to the Fish and Game budget. And as Representative Holm and the entire committee knows, the Fish and Game budget is one that's already troubled. So I want to draw that to your attention and then just point out some differences. 387 is, again, an incentive, I think, in large part for folks to join the Alaska National Guard, whereas the governor's bill is largely to, I don't want to say a reward, but to recognize folks who are returning from combat and to basically, you know, give them a way to recuperate, give them a way to relax after serving in a combat zone. I've mentioned the cost. 387, in our view, is not optional. It says that these folks may receive these complimentary licenses, whereas the governor's bill says that the commissioner, at the request of the governor, so there is some sort of wiggle room in that bill. And finally, there's no timeline on this bill. So if this were to pass, this would cost Fish and Game $65,700 every year if we're going to give this to active National Guard troops, whereas the governor's bill, you're looking at only giving these complimentary licenses in years where we have folks returning from combat. So I just wanted to point out some differences. From Fish and Game's perspective, we certainly support the intentions in terms of recognizing Alaska's National Guard troops. We're grateful for their service. However, this does cause us some financial concern, and I guess I would ask that, I mean, this is a policy call for all of you all and how you want to proceed, but if you do move forward with this bill, I guess I would ask for some sort of financial relief because it would be, in so many words, an unfunded mandate. So with that said, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Any questions for Ms. Gilbertson? Seeing none, thank you very much. Okay. Let's see. Is there anyone online who wants to testify on this one? Okay. Anyone else here in Juneau? Sure. Yeah. Please do. And actually, Mr. Kramer. Oh, there you are. You keep moving on.
Thank you again, members of the committee. The reason we're offering the permits before they go to Iraq, and it's kind of morbid, but if you've seen pictures from Iraq, many of the soldiers may not be able to walk into the woods, let alone hold a pole. And I think it's better that they get this before they go. I mean, I've been in combat. You don't like it. I think you need the tranquility of going there, and I think Representative Foster would agree. I think the money portion, I think that I told this previous speaker that if we have to look at the Commercial Fishery Entry Commission monies, that you have a surplus that you've levied upon the fishermen, and they're all complaining to me right now about their $600 permits that they're paying for when they paid $350 last year or less. I don't think that the money should cloud what these guys are going to do. And most of them, like I said, joined for the weekend duty and to be with their friends. So I think that this is small. I told them at the last committee, if I was still a lobbyist members, I would pay for it myself. Mm-hmm. Because I think we should be very proud of the Guard and keep them in there and doing what they are. So
I think that it's a good bill, and we should go forward with it regardless of the concerns. And I need this strong urge again, those who like to hunt and fish, you know, it's a good way to relax. And if you're known, and you know, I had the misfortune of waiting for over a year in temporary duty stations in the U.S., knowing that it was a matter of time. At least now the boys have put a notice and let them go out and enjoy themselves out rather than sitting in the bars like we did after we came home for a couple of years trying to get back into shape here. So I think this is a good bill the way it is, and thank you.
Okay. Representative Joel has a question for you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I'm not sure if this is more for DMVA, but you may know the answer to this as well. I know that many Alaskans probably join all branches of military, but as it relates to the Guard in joining, are those Alaskans when they join? So that I don't, or they're already Alaska citizens when they're joining up the Alaska Guard.
Yeah, the Alaska resident get the benefit. So, but anybody can join the Guard, and I think that again. The Guard in the previous past was a way to get away from going to combat duty, but it is not now. It's if you join the Guard, you have as good a chance as anybody else to sit out there and become a target.
Right.
A couple of years ago, I checked. I already had 7.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Representative Schultz.
Representative Thomas, this is not a bill to incentivize people to go into the Guard.
In a way, but the education portion is, for example, my daughter is looking at joining the Guard because of the bonus sign-up, and I told her not only that, you also get an education, and I didn't tell you get a hunting fishing license. She wouldn't, you know, she gets enough fishing with me, I can tell you that.
I took her over the top then when she knew she'd get a hunting fishing license.
She might be the one.
I just have a hard time thinking that people would join the Guard, use this as an incentive program to get them over the top, and I don't think that that's what it's intended for. I thought I heard that comment a while ago, and you know, I think it's more of a reward for men and women that would so choose to join to help out not only our state but help out our country. So thanks for bringing this before us.
Thank you, Co-Chair. It's two portions. One is the incentive. This was more reward. And to me, it was a way of tranquility and peace to get away and get on your boat and drift around and throw an egg over the side or eggs and drift around and listen to your music or do whatever you want to do. But just to get away from people, you need a moment of thinking, and I think that Representative Foster would agree, rather than sitting on guard duty in the middle of the night, worried about home. So anyway, thank you, committee.
I do have a question for you too, Representative Thomas. The on the first page, line 13, where you talk about supplemental appropriation. I'm just concerned there that we're that could be an open check. In other words, it says that on the second page, the agenda general shall request the legislature make a supplemental appropriation to fund the waivers and assistance. I guess my concern there is every year we could have a supplemental request, and That's one concern I have. It's kind of an open check there. And then second is that I don't see any fiscal note here for the university, and I would think that there would be some cost to the university. There's zero fiscal note. Do we have one?
Zero.
Yeah, it's zero. Yeah, wouldn't there be a cost to the university on that?
Education.
Okay.
Money, so.
Go ahead.
However you'd like, Mr. Chairman, but I'd be glad to address those. You know, we know it's a closed group. That is, we know how many guardsmen there are. We know men and women guards members. We know those numbers aren't going to radically change. So you're right, of course, on the Finance Committee to be concerned about open-ended supplementals, but it's particularly worrisome where it's a class that could grow without your control. You're going to know how many guardsmen and women there are. And the numbers we were talking about on the fish and game licenses are, it's either going to be 65,000 or 5 to 10. I think the department is underestimating the number of combat veterans, unfortunately, because we're about to get a bunch more. But that's capped. And in the same way this is capped, it's the fundamental decision, and it's a great place to have this debate. We've told our Guards members that they're going to have an educational benefit, that they're going to be able to, before or after they come back from combat, go to the University of Alaska Fairbanks or Anchorage or Southeast, or another institute, and maybe upgrade their skills so they can get a better job, maybe just take a course that they'd like to take, but that they're going to get that benefit. So on who should the risk of us estimating the right amount fall? Should it be that if you apply in October and the money's run out, you just don't get it? Is that the commitment we're making? Or is it that we say, as this bill says, we're gonna do that. Continue the program. If somebody who's eligible comes in October or November or December and the amount we estimated for the program was not sufficient, do it and we'll pay it. You are right to be concerned about supplementals. We've seen various areas, and you and I have worked on it, Chairman Meyer, on how to estimate them properly and what to do when they get out of hand. But with all respect, I don't think this is one that is likely to get out of hand. You know whether they're a Guards member or not. And we've made this commitment to have this educational benefit. We should stand up to it. We should live up to it.
Okay, thanks. We have some questions. Representative Kelly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. How many, who asked for this bill? How many people came and asked you for that they wouldn't have to pay for their license and told us that the educational benefits that are already available weren't good enough?
Well, through the chair, this is Representative Croft, and to Representative Kelly through the chair. The educational benefit is fine, but we heard from a couple of different people that it run out. That is, that there were estimates that last year 25 Guards members weren't able to get what was a statutory benefit. So nobody's really, I guess, complaining about the benefit itself. It just wasn't there when they went up to the window. The spouse idea, and we originally had spouse and dependents, and in response to a lot of the discussion and talking with the Division of Military and Veterans Affairs, we pulled back some. But everybody, I think, has this sense of what can we legitimately do for Guards members? We know they're doing heroic things for us. And so it wasn't so much individual specific mailers I got as a lot of people talking about what can we do better. And so we wanted to make sure that the educational benefit was there. We wanted to help out the spouses. We always want to sacrifice for the job, but it became particularly clear when you see all of these families overseas for so long. The Iraqi situation didn't create the sacrifice of families, but it brought it into focus.
And if I may, Mr. Co-Chair, through the chair, Representative Kelly, the reason when we started looking at it was because when I got out of the service, I got a notice in the morning from the first company commander to come see him, and I thought I was in trouble, and he actually tore my orders up, and I thought, well, you're freaking me out here, you know, and what are you doing to me, and actually gave me a two-week early out and put new orders in there. So I was in Vietnam like yesterday and home the next day, and I got out the night before Thanksgiving thinking that I could get home in the same day, but I couldn't, and it was a good gesture, but they also didn't do any debriefing, so we didn't know that we had any benefits from the military at all, and I still don't know what they are because nobody's ever told me. And so this is one of the reasons that we were looking at the education portion, to make sure that our National Guard people were aware that they could have an education, and that's where I came from on that one, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Representative
Paul? Mr. Chairman, I just want to talk about fiscal notes whenever that's appropriate, so I don't know that I have to.
Yeah, I have a little concern with that. I don't know if you want to address them, or should we have Mr. Kramer? Or
Well, I could address them now if it's appropriate. I have a problem with the two of the fiscal notes. One is the Department of Military and Veteran Affairs, given what we just heard a moment ago with 25 guardsmen not receiving benefits, why would there not be some initial money for DMV that would be initiated into that fiscal note for those additional benefits? And then I'm concerned with the University of Alaska. Is it the University of Alaska one? Which shows that there's no change. But if we're talking about giving benefits to spouses, and where's that money going to come from? I mean, it doesn't show any place here. I don't see anything that tells where does it tie in. So I guess that's where.
President Croft?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, could you share the representative home? I think you're absolutely right. I intend for this to cost some money. I mean, I intend for there to be a benefit to spouse. I intend for a spouse of a guards person to be able to get some benefit from it. Otherwise, there wouldn't be any point in doing the bill. I intend for a guardsman who would have the mission score shut on it, at least in terms of getting assistance to go to school, for that door to be opened and for that money to be paid not by him or her, but by the state. So I think more accurately, the Military and Veterans Affairs, which is going to be the ultimate place that pays for this, should have an indeterminate fiscal note. They don't quite know what it'll be, but it'll be some money. And for the university, though, I do think it should be a zero fiscal note. I don't intend for the university to be out any money on this. And if that's at various years, and it's really hard to tell going back. You can imagine my search through both the university accounting system and the governmental accounting system to try and figure out what was happening. It seemed like over the last 10 years, sometimes the university paid it and ate it themselves. Sometimes we did supplementals ourselves and stepped up to the plate, and sometimes the university wasn't getting a supplemental the year before or something, and so just stopped the program. It seemed like all these practices happened. But I intend to clarify by this bill that the university is not out any money, that we are going to pay for it, and that we give our best estimate, and if that's wrong, we step up to the plate. But I think an indeterminate is more accurate for Military and Veterans Affairs, though I think the university can stay a zero.
Paul Ripsenholm?
Yeah, I guess maybe we should discuss the university budget that way. It's very apparent to me, and I think it should be apparent to all of us, that the tuitions do not pay for the education at the University of Alaska. They do not pay all the bill. So tuition waivers do not support what it costs for us for an education of an individual at the University of Alaska. So what I'm trying to say here is that you're putting another burden on the University of Alaska that I think we know that when we add more people there that the tuition does not meet what it costs us. So you're adding more people into the classroom. You're costing more to the university, and it's not reimbursed any place here. And so if we're going to say it's going to be an indeterminate fiscal note to Department of Military and Veteran Affairs, I would suggest that it also is for the University of Alaska, because obviously we know that the tuition does not pay for the whole education.
Mr. Chairman, okay. Representative Holmes, I missed this interchange. This is, I guess I disagree. I think probably what's happening in the vast majority of situations is they're taking courses that they were going to take anyway. So the question is going to become, who pays the bill for that tuition? They were going to go get an auto mechanics course or a next stage of their degree, and does it come out of the individual guardsman member's pocket, or do we say, no, we got that tab for you? I see your point, though. I very much understand it, that there is something higher than the tuition cost that is the actual cost for an incremental student. I don't know whether most of these would have taken it already, but if they would have, then you're just simply giving the university what it would have gotten before, but from a different pocket. We don't really know.
We don't know, yeah. Thank you very much.
Good point.
Okay, thank you. I have a note here that maybe Mr. Kramer could help with some of the fiscal notes. So this time I'd like to ask Mr. Kramer to come up.
Good morning, Mr. Kramer. For the record, my name is John Kramer. I'm the Admin Service Director for the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs.
With the CS, we will be submitting a fiscal note. I think there will be some impact. We know that in our operating budget, we did have an increment in our operating budget to make up for the shortfall for tuition waiver funding. We ran out of money last year. The university is trying to recoup some of their costs, and by increasing tuition like they have had to do here the last few years, that has increased, of course, the drain on the monies that we have available to assist guard members. And so that's why you're seeing an increment in our budget, and we weren't able to meet all the demand that we had for those educational dollars last year. So that's where that increase in our budget in 07 operating is in our request. This will definitely, a couple things are going to happen. We are in an up-tempo deployment situation with the National Guard. We'll see somewhere in the neighborhood of about 800 and some going off this year. A couple of things happen, and I think that all of you know what's going on, but to explain a little bit further, if I could. We're going to have these deployments, and most of the time, the reason why our National Guard members, I'm going to say, further their education is because it directly impacts them on how much money they're going to make as Guard members. Because as they, if they want to become an officer, they need to have a degree program in order to move up in the ranks inside of the system. And that directly affects, of course, their families. And so Guard members want to get into that cycle, they want to take these classes, and they want to get promoted. So we're going to see, and we'll continue to see, as we bring in new Guards members, and we have a very active recruitment program going on, you're going to see Guard members want to continue with this educational benefit. And I'm happy to address any other questions that you might have, but primarily that you will see a fiscal note coming forward. It probably will be an indeterminate fiscal note right now. We're anticipating, quite honestly, that would be somewhere around $80,000. We know that we have about $320,000 going into the program now. We feel that we potentially a quarter of our guardsmen's spouses will want to attend school, and so that's why we see that.
I think what I'd like to do, thank you, Mr. Kramer, I'd like to just hold this bill over so we can have a chance to look at your fiscal note, have more discussion about the fiscal costs. I know Representative Holm, you had some additional questions.
Just one quick question. If I could just ask you something, you don't have to give me an answer now, but I'm curious about something. We deal, as you well know, with the supplemental process all the time. I'm curious as to why DMV did not take those people and give them their tuition waivers and put it in a supplemental rather than just not provide them. You don't have to answer me now, but I find that for me, if I thought it was a good program, I certainly would think I'd figure it'd be a better way to pay for it.
Through the chair, to Representative Pullman. The university is under your right. And so you have three semesters that are working. We don't know we're going to run out of money because we don't know what type of impact on what semester when it comes available. So our guard members, they make applications. They apply through our department to be able to attend school. We weren't aware that the guard didn't bring it to us that we were going to be short until
after
recently. And so once we find that out, then of course we try and make a fix, and that's why you see the increment in our operating budget for FY07 of $25,000. We then realized that, you know, we're falling short. Although we had fewer people apply this year than last because of the 10% increase in tuition, we're falling behind, if you know what I mean. So I don't know if that directly answers your question, but that's what's happened in the department. So.
Thank you, Representative Holm.
Just a quick question. I'd asked it a little bit earlier. But those that enlist in the Alaska Guards. They're residents at time of enlistment, right?
Through the chair, there are a few guardsmen in Alaska who are not Alaska residents. They don't live in the state of Alaska, and there are very few of them, but there are a few. And I believe that they are, we have a couple that are pilots that live in the lower 48 and come up to drill and drill with our guard members.
But by and large?
Oh, vast majority, 99%.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Kramer.
Thank you.
Representative Thomas, Representative Croft, thank you. Yeah, we'll wait to get fiscal notes and revisit this bill. Okay, let's move on then to, we won't be taking up House Bill 51 this morning. Not sure when we'll take that up. We won't be taking up bills this afternoon. We'll be doing PPT Friday. What is today? Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Today's Wednesday. Okay. What are we doing tomorrow? Why don't you join us here? We have some people here for House Bill 51, so. All right, I'm taking it at ease. We'll take up Friday morning, so if you're here for that, you can come back Friday morning. Let's go on now to House Bill 307, Knick River Public Use Area. We do have several people who want to testify. We'll try to get to as many as we can before we have to go to a session. Representative Stokes.
Mr. Chairman, in deference to the people that are waiting to get as many through, I will defer any comments on the bill.
You want to tell us what the bill's about?
Well, it's an area within my district. It has a lot of problems with misuse. There's currently no order or management of the area. Introduced the bill late last year. Held some fairly comprehensive hearings in the Butte area. Very well attended. The media covered them. I've lost track of how many hours of individual meetings with people making suggestions, and you see there's been a genesis, there's been an evolution of the bill reflecting concerns of the department and some from constituents. It's my effort to try to institute a multi-use management plan for an area that's becoming more and more heavily used, feeling the pinch of and trying to maintain as many of the values of use that are currently in there as we can. That's the shorthand version in deference to the folks out there.
Okay, very good.
Let's
go ahead and go to testimony then, unless there's some questions for the sponsor. Seeing none, we'll go to the MATSU first. We have some in Anchorage, but let's go to the MATSU. First on the list is Charlotte Sarter. May not be saying that right. Charlotte?
She's off net, but I can get her for you.
Oh, okay, we can go on to... you can get her?
I can.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm Charlotte Sarter. I've lived in the Butte area and used the Knick River, Swan, Mud, Jim Lake area for 33 years. I support this bill as passed in the House Resources Committee. I would like to thank Representative Stokes for working for changes to make this bill a more balanced compromise between user groups. It is much improved from the original bill and the redraft. Adequate sustainable funding is now needed for planning and for enforcement. Too many people are afraid to use this wonderful area due to vandalism, unsafe shooting, and other misuse that occurs here. Good enforcement is the key to addressing these problems. This is such a large, far-flung area that adequate enforcement could well require funding for more than one position. Although I support the bill, some additional changes would improve it further. The incompatible uses section, line 13, I'd suggest deleting recognized existing off-road motor vehicle trails and substitute allow for road motor vehicle, off-road motor vehicle and non-motorized trails as compatible with purposes. Currently, trails crisscross the area, including through wetlands and upland springs that feed the watershed. Uses need to be compatible with purposes, not grandfathered in. All trails need to be evaluated and rerouted as needed to prevent damage from increased use. In the management section, I'd suggest adding a citizens advisory board and a deadline for implementing the management plan. This area provides a variety of recreational opportunities and important wildlife habitat. Wild birds, including swans, use it as an important spring and fall migration rest stop and nest in the area. I hope we are getting closer to a bill for good management that will address the problem and ensure continued use by all without ruining the area. Please allow for adequate funding for planning and enforcement to proceed in a timely manner. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for your testimony.
Okay, let's go on to Brett
Lively.
I'm Brett Lively.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm here representing Butte Area Residents Civic Organization. I'm a longtime resident and co-founder. First, we want to thank Representative Stoltz and his committee for having recognized the shortage of law enforcement resources during past sessions and have provided for more troopers for MATSU. That has helped. Here's excerpts from the documents submitted to you via fax. While we have thankfully watched the improvements House resources have made to this public use area legislation since its introduction, it falls short of our initial expectations for the state lines in our neighborhoods. HB 307 is still heavily weighted toward enhancing motorized recreation and allows continuing dangerous activities, locking legitimate users out and discouraging peaceful family recreation. Please allocate sufficient funding to really make a difference in Kinnick River Valley with either HB 307 or another vehicle, which is our proposed Kinnick River State Recreation Area, if that is found to be a better mechanism. We have not seen a fiscal note for HB 307 and cannot comment on its adequacy for what we think is necessary to turn the Jim Creek Badlands into a multi-use recreation destination for local residents and visitors from near and far. Our cost estimate ranges from $250,000 to $600,000 a year for the first year. Funding should cover law enforcement, education, restrooms, repair of existing damage by ORVs and 4x4s, and trail enhancements. Sanitary facilities are a must, since there are no public restrooms in the area to accommodate up to 3,000 users on a nice weekend. The lack of sanitary facilities is a serious health hazard to residents. Enforcement is key. When enforcement is assured, agencies such as U.S. Fish and Wildlife and private foundations are more likely to spend money on enhancing the area, knowing that the facilities and infrastructure they put up will be protected from vandalism. More federal and private funds will be available when users pay for their recreation. I believe that the designation of state recreation area has the built-in mechanism for a user's fee structure, possibly exempting local residents, and provides the assurance to funding organizations that the state of Alaska is serious about the stewardship of its recreational lands so that their investment is protected. Visitors from all over the world would gladly pay a small fee to see and experience the wonders of our area, bringing with them new economic opportunities to our small community in the process. And do the users actually expect that the state of Alaska should pay for their recreation, enforcement, infrastructure maintenance, and enhancement? And should we, as residents and property owners of Butte, with our service area fees for emergencies, fire, and road be expected to continue to pay for mostly Anchorage, Fort Rich, and Elmendorf people? Are all Alaskans expected to continue enabling culture of we can do anything here we're not allowed to do anywhere else? It is in your power to restore peace to our community and give us an opportunity for economic growth by helping create a multi-user, high-end visitor destination for South Central Alaska. Give us the basics so we can provide facilities and services which will replace the perception of Da Butte and associate the tainted image of its residents with that of a healthy and vibrant community that is ready to meet this positive challenge. Please, give us the chance to shine. Give us respect. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Lively. I think we need to call it quits for today. It is 10 o'clock, and we do have floor session at 10. I appreciate the committee members for staying as long as you have. I would like to continue this bill tomorrow morning at 8:30 is our start time tomorrow. So with that, we will be adjourned until 1:30 this afternoon, where we have a joint meeting with the Senate. I believe is it here or in this? Okay. We'll be meeting here with the Senate Finance at 1:30 to continue our discussion with PPT. So until 1:30, we are adjourned.
Really?
Hey, Bill, if you can call and try to...
Very good. Yeah, I don't know. Those work.